Is good. God is good. All right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. How many know we're growing up? I said, how many know we're growing up? Anybody with me, or are you going home? Hallelujah. We're growing up in the Lord. Now, a lot of times you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, well, it doesn't seem to appear to be happening. But see, you have a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. Amen? Hello. He lives and dwells on the inside of you. And see, and if we trust that He's living and dwelling on the inside of us, He is making transformation. Amen? A lot of time, you believe that, well, it's all up to me, you know, to make it happen. You know, old what's his name out there in California? What's his name? Got a crystal church. Schuller, yeah. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Got a great book. If it's going to be, it's up to me. I don't think so. Amen? I don't think so. If it's going to be, it's up to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is making transformation. The Holy Spirit is transforming you into the image of Jesus. Amen? Now, there are times that we rebel against that. Amen? Anybody notice that? Huh? Like daily? Anybody notice that? Are you disappointed by that? Well, you're confused, aren't you? You know, you're out there sinning left and right, and you're still disappointed by the fact that you're sinning. Boy, how awful is that? What a terrible life that you're living. You know, to be so miserable and so miserable in your walk. I tell you, begin to rejoice. Amen? See, listen, you can be distraught all day long about your failures. Your failure to live according to the Word of God and according to the power of the Holy Spirit. You can whine and complain and get all irritated and upset about it. But here's what you begin to do. Listen. You begin to rejoice. You begin to give thanks to God for His mercy and for His goodness and for His faithfulness. Amen? Listen, if you'll begin to do that, He will. It's going to be fun for you. He is going to chastise you. He's going to chasten you. You know what? The chastening, though, if you'll remember, who took upon Him your sin? Anybody remember the guy? What's his name? He took his... Anybody? Say it again. Jesus took your sin upon Himself on the cross. Amen? Is that right? He took your sin upon the cross. Who received the punishment for your sin? He did? Okay, are you receiving punishment further for your sin now?
No.
Oh, well, my gosh, what do you call this chastisement? I thought that was punishment for my sin. Chastisement. I'm being chastised. Anybody ever think like that? See, the Scripture says that when a young man is listens to the Word of God and is loved by his Father does what? Chastens him, corrects him, reproves him, matures him, grows him up. Isn't that true? Aren't you being matured and grown up? How many, maybe you're over 18 and you're still being grown up? Isn't that amazing? You're still being grown up. Hallelujah. How many over 50 and you're still being grown up? How many over 60 and you're still being grown up? How many over 70 and you're still being grown up? How many older than that and you're still being grown up? How many over 100 and been rolled in here and you're still growing up? How many know we're still growing up? The Lord is still growing us up. You remember Moses, don't you? He didn't even get to go to the promised land. He was still being grown up. He was 120. Still messing. Must give you hope. If the guy was 120, he was still messing up. Amen? How many of you are still messing up? Hallelujah. Are you rejoicing even though you're messing up? Hallelujah. Jump up, spin around. Rejoice in the love of God. Are you doing that? Are you daily rejoicing in the love of God? Because see, some days you can get depressed. Some days you can get up and just be flat depressed all day long. You look at yourself in the mirror, or you look at the job that you've got to do, and you're just depressed all day long. How you're never going to make it. How you're never going to survive. How you yell at this and that. You yell at somebody, or you're, the people that are supposed to be doing their work, it's people who are supposed to be helping you. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. You are the love of God in Christ Jesus. You walk as a demonstration of the love of Christ. Did you know that? Hallelujah. That's why you're here. That's why you're not dead. I mean, you got, how many of you got saved? How many of you know Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Anybody? Good. Yeah, I hope I have every... If I don't have every hand, we'll stop now and have an altar call. Amen? People are going to raise their hand anyway just because they don't want to go through that. Oh, brother, don't do that. No, I tell you, you're born again. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come on the inside of you to cause you to be transformed. And He's here. You're still here to be a gospel bearer. Giving the gospel to what? Every creature. You're here to bring the gospel to every creature. That's why you're here. Otherwise, God might as well just kill you and just take you home. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Because so many people don't say that very high, very loud. Amen. Boom. There you go. No. You're here to be a demonstration. And it's not under your own strength. It's not under your own power. When you get up and move out every morning, it's because you're a gospel machine. You have a job to feed your gospel machine. Amen? The only reason you're making money is to feed this machine to dispense the good news. Amen? That's the only reason you're here. You're not here to have a good job. You're not here to have a big family. You're not here to have something going on. You're here to do one thing, and that's to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ and produce more children in the gospel. Listen to me carefully. In the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. That's right. Aren't you excited? Hallelujah. And you're fully capable. You're fully empowered by the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So great a cloud of witnesses. Who is that? That's those who have gone on and done the same thing before us. Now they're dead. They're gone to heaven. They're gone into the presence of the Lord. So we have an example. We have an example. We seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a lot in there. There is a lot right in that one verse there. Is that we are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone before us. Abraham. We just looked at the wherefore seeing. You could read chapter 11. He says, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Noah. All of these guys, by faith, by the same faith that you have, by faith in the Almighty God who promised. Though by those people lived by that faith and that hope. They lived by a hope toward the gospel, looking forward to the gospel. You and I look to a hope that was behind us, the gospel that was produced and supplied through Jesus. Amen? They were looking according to the promise in Genesis 3:15, which said, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. They were looking for that hope. They were looking for that hope, and they walked with faith in that hope, in a God who loved them and who had promised. Now we look back to that same promise which was fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and we live by that same hope. Because here we are, we don't see Jesus. I hadn't seen the guy, but I'm looking back to the promise that was fulfilled, and we believe that that promise was fulfilled, that He rose again from the dead, and that He filled us with His Holy Spirit, that He came to live and to dwell on the inside of us, so that we are absolutely, positively transformed. So with so great a cloud of witnesses, so in other words, a lot of examples, a lot of proof, and a lot of examples of those who have come before us, and let us lay aside every weight. Everything that slows me down. Laying aside every weight, everything that's slowing me down. Lord, show me the things that are slowing me down. Some of them you know. Some of those things you know. What's slowing you down? Some of those things you do know. Some of those things, and the sin which does so easily beset us. The sin which so easily besets us. That sin is, it just, I mean, how many know sin is just like a little bump on the carpet? You just trip over it. You just trip over it time and time again. And that's what God is doing right here. Now listen, he's not through. He's not through talking about it. And the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Most of the time people stop with that. People stop with that verse. Okay, come on guys, let's get with it. You know, let's move on for God. Well, here he's going to add a little bit to it. Let's find out. First of all, so he's saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run the race with patience. Now, there's a requirement to that because it's something you can't pull off on your own. Anybody know that? I've been trying to set aside the sin and put down every weight. It just seemed like I can't pull that off. Well, yeah. The guys out in the wilderness couldn't pull it off either. Amen? I said the guys in the wilderness couldn't pull it off either. He says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. The author and the finisher. So Jesus is not only the author of your faith, but he is the finisher. He's the perfecter. He's the one who brings your faith to full fruition. He brings it to full fruit. He brings your person in him into a demonstration of his faith and faithfulness and his goodness. Amen? So that's what Jesus is doing. He's doing it himself. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So for the joy that was set before him, what's that? You. That's it. But who? What was the joy that was set before him? That's it. The joy. He endured the cross, but the joy was you. The joy was you. Did you know you're his joy? He is just rejoicing over you. Oh, remember in Zephaniah? He says he rejoices over you with joy, with singing. He dances and rejoices over you with singing. Amen? How many know God loves you? God's not out to get you. He's out to cause you to be a fulfillment of his provision. Amen? He loves you absolutely. And he's causing you to be formed in his image. Jesus was this, for the joy that was set before him, in other words, here's what you're going to get. How many of you, if you looked at you and thought when Christmas was coming, you would be what you want? Hey, are you what you picked out of the catalog? I mean, come on. You know, if I'd seen that, I said, no, thank you. I don't think I want one of those. I think I'll have something else. Just give me a cookie instead. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, the shame of the cross is nothing. Compared to the fact that I'm going to get John, and John's going to be my beloved. Compared to that, the cross is nothing. The cross is nothing. Amen? The cross is nothing. So that I could get Leslie Ann. That's what he said. The cross is nothing. I'll endure the cross gladly to receive Norman. Would you? It's Jesus. He's a funny guy. But he loves me. How funny. For David, he loves me. That's crazy. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God because he was raised from the dead. For consider him. Now you consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I mean, that guy was contradicted. That guy had sinners against him. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. I love that verse. That's good. For consider him. When you're wearied, anybody get weary with the kingdom of God, with fulfilling the kingdom of God? Remember he says, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap. He says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. See, you see all kinds of things coming against you. You need to consider, I want to go back and consider Jesus. Who despised the shame of the cross so that he could have me, so that he could draw me and bring me into his kingdom. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. How many of your mind gives you trouble? Anybody? Your mind gives you trouble. See, it's because your mind was raised in this world, wasn't it? Huh? Was your mind raised in Tennessee or something? And I mean, it sure wasn't raised in heaven. Your mind was raised in Texas. Your mind was raised, you know, in New York City. Texas was better, but New York City, that's pretty bad. But your mind is raised in this world. And your mind, therefore, is convinced of all kinds of things. Your mind is convinced of all kinds of ideas that will trap you. And you will be thinking on those things that the world has to offer. You'll be thinking on these things that the consequences of the world are. Well, if this happens, then this certainly will happen. If this goes down, then certainly I'm finished. When you look at, he says, consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of his sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. In other words, Jesus endured it all, and then it still was raised from the dead and received the fullness of it, of the inheritance. Listen, don't be weary and faint in your mind. Consider him. Put your hope in him. Put your thought in him. Is that lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Your mind is what's going to drag you down. Amen? Hello. Your mind is what's dragging you down because it's not bent to the Word of God. It's not bent to the promises of God. Amen? You have not yet resisted the blood striving against sin. You guys started bleeding yet? Striving against sin. Well, I'm going to try not to sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation, which speaks to you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons, illegitimate and not sons, not true children. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Now, you see that word correction? Same word, chastening, correction. Are you being corrected? And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily chastened for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Hello? Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Now, he says here, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. I'm talking a little bit about the chastising of the Lord. Again, you remember we talked a minute ago about the fact that who was punished for your sin was Jesus. Is that right? Now, chastening has to do with the fact that you're becoming weary and faint and weary in your mind because you're believing what's happening in the world. You're believing that this world has some authority. Amen? Jesus said what? All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Now listen. See, so this chastising, this chastisement, this chastening is all about one thing. It's all about transforming you outwardly from this world into the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that right? Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. That is, our manner of living is in heaven. The way we live, the way I conduct myself is in heaven. So here we look at the scripture there at the beginning of chapter 12, which said that we're laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us and run the race with patience that is set before us. You know that the patience has to do with the fact that you're not conformed yet. Amen? You're not changed yet. You're not transformed yet. Are you still happy? Huh? Are you still joyful and thankful? Waking up every morning and looking at that face full of yuck. That face every morning and rejoicing, giving glory to God. Amen? I rise up and here's all my trouble. I rise up and I'm going to school again. Oh my gosh, going to school again. You know? I mean, school's awful, isn't it? You know, if you're a kid, right? School's just, it's almost like going to work when you're an adult. You know? It's like, hey, listen, I got news for you. Stick with school. Work is not better. Stick with school. But I tell you, I know it's really awful. It is really bad. Because, you know, you got other people at that school. You got kids. You got teachers. You got people. And when you have people, you got trouble. I mean, except for you, right? I mean, if it's just a world full of you, everything would be right. If it's just a world full of me, I know I'd be very happy. I'm telling you, I'd kill me. If there's a world full of me, I'm sure I'd kill me. How about you? Amen? You no good. A world full of you would be no better than a world full of everybody else. You might as well leave it alone. You might as well just rejoice. Listen, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You, being a born-again believer, you're filled with God's Spirit, and His joy is on the inside of you. Rejoice just means activate your joy. Amen? He says, rejoice in the Lord. What does that mean? Rejoice. It means activate your joy. Amen? In other words, I wake up and I don't feel like rejoicing. But you know what? I know the truth. And the truth says, rejoice. The truth says, declare the glory of God. The truth says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Amen? So when you wake up in the morning, bless His name. When you wake up in the morning, declare His name. Chastening. Chastening is causing you to be again transformed from this world into the new world. From the perspective of your mind, your will, and your emotions. How many want to be chastened? Yes, sir. How many want to be chastened? How many want to be? It's like going to college. Sorry, kids, it's like going to school. It's like going to school. You're being transformed out of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. In this world. In this world, you're being transformed right now. Isn't that powerful? Are you thankful for that? I want to be chastened. I do. Chastening is not a dread or a burden. It's tough, but it's not a dread or a burden. Chastening is something that is going to cause you to be formed into the image of God right now today in this world. Amen? So you're no longer complaining when somebody cuts you off. So you're no longer complaining when somebody swears at you at the office and you feel like you want to get back. When your family and your children are all over your case about one thing or the other, and you're rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know I mess up? Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. How many know I don't rejoice at all times? I rejoice a lot, but I don't rejoice at all times that I mess up. But I'm asking God, I want to be chastened. I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. Amen? And she does too. I'm praying for her that she'll want to be changed. Praise the Lord. Are you praying for one another? How about those family members that are chewing you up one side and down the other? Are you praying for them that they'll be changed? Or are you trying to change them yourself? You're getting out the circular saw and the power drill, and you're ready to change that person right here and right now. I'm going to change your form. I'm going to turn you from a person into a coffee table. Something useful. I want to change you into something useful here. Amen? Hallelujah. God's good. He wants to transform you. Chastening is a blessing from the Lord. Amen? He's a father to you. He's a father to you, and he's bringing you into His presence. Now listen, He says, for whom the Lord loves, for whom the Lord hates, for whom the Lord is mad at, He chastens. Is that what it says? Are you with me in Hebrews chapter 12? Anybody get a Bible? By the way, does anybody get your name written in the front of your Bible? I'm not kidding. Does anybody get your name written in front of your Bible? Because if I find it on the pew and it doesn't have a name in it, it's mine. Some of you, I've gotten some nice Bibles. I just collect them off the pew. That's only after they've been there about a month. You know, I don't pick it up the next week or anything. It says, for whom the Lord loves, everybody say loves. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. How many know the Lord chastens you because He loves you? He loves you. He loves you, so He's chastening you. Chastening you is correction. It's reproof. It's maturity. It's growing you up. Hallelujah. Teaching you how to use that washing machine. Teaching you how to use that bar of soap. Amen. Teaching you how to use a deodorant. You want to be chastened, don't you? You want to be trained how to live properly. You want to be trained how to live in the kingdom of God. Amen? I mean, you train your own children, don't you? Those babies changing their own diapers yet? Not yet? Praise God. You need to train that baby. You need to train that girl. How many of you know girls are faster than boys at learning stuff? Right? Boy, y'all are exciting today, I'm telling you. Get Paul up here and sing another song. Get y'all piped up. You just don't like this message on chastening. I can tell. You guys are still bummed out. If you endure chastening, okay, I'm sorry, it does say scourge, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. He's talking about mature sons. He begins to talk to you. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the... Hello. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He begins, see, once you're raised and matured, He begins to deal with you as sons. That is because you are now led by the Spirit of God. You hear His voice, and you begin to walk with Him. You begin to move with Him because you've been chastened to know His voice and to hear Him and to follow Him. When He speaks, you move. You're learning to hear His voice. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof you're all partakers, in other words, all of you. Well, he got chastised because he was in sin. No. He got chastised because God loves him. He was being chastised. He was being corrected. He was being formed and molded. Why? Why? Remember what we just said? Because God loves you. If you be without chastisement, whereof all the partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Didn't say punishment, did it? Huh? Are we reading this? He chastened you for your profit. What's your profit? Any businessman here? Anybody in business? You want to make a profit? Huh? I don't mean like a profit. I mean like a money. Anybody want to make profit? Come on, you're not greedy. The Scripture says you need to make a profit. Do you know that? The Scripture talks about you need to make a profit. You're going to be in business, it's good to make a profit. So he says, your chastening is what? For what purpose? For your profit. For your blessing. For your increase. What is a profit? But an increase, isn't it? A profit is increase. Anybody know that? If you're in business, a profit is increase. So he is chastening you for your increase. For your profit. For your building up. Because you are being transformed fully into his image. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Yes, sir. Good stuff. Hallelujah. Now, no chastening for the present. Verse 11. Seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. And wherefore, listen up, lift up the hands which hang down. Oh, golly. Oh, I feel like I've been beat to a pulp, smithereens. Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's not forsaken you. God's not forsaken you. How many know God's not forsaken you? He's not forsaken you. In fact, he's manifesting himself to you. He is causing you to be transformed into his image. Amen? What did we first read? Wherefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. What begins to cause that to happen is the chastening of the Lord, is the correction of the Lord. He begins to turn your boat. Amen? You're heading for the waterfall, and he's just turning the boat around. Amen. Keep you from going over the waterfall. Keeping you from going down the drain, as we say. He's transforming you. He's changing you. So that you are no longer weary and faint in your mind. But filled with rejoicing. Filled with peace. And thanksgiving. No matter what comes down the pike. No matter what comes across you. We've had a few things come across us. How about you? Anybody had a few bumps in your road? Maybe regarding your marriage, maybe regarding your children, maybe regarding your pastor, maybe regarding your job, your parents, friends. President, Congressman. How about your car? That's a big one, isn't it? You feel like you want to kick your car. You know what? Your car can't feel a thing. Be like an old car. You're all beat up, don't quite run right, but you know what? If you kick it, it can't tell. Amen? That old car just can't tell if you kick it or not. God loves you. That's why He's chastening you. He said, remember what He said right here? So it's a good sermon to preach because he says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. All of you are partakers of that, of chastisement. All are partakers. You may just not recognize what it is. You may be thinking you're being punished. You may be thinking you're being brought down by God. He's out to just destroy you. Well, I'll tell you what He's out to destroy is your flesh. Amen? You know what? You ought to be happy about that because you're not doing a good job of it. Amen. You're not doing too good a job of cruising around finding your flesh, so God's going to help you. Amen? Especially if you're like 14. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, He starts crucifying your flesh most when you're 14. So just get ready to rejoice. Amen? Yes, sir. That's awesome. It's good to have a birthday, isn't it? Amen. Or maybe if you're 15 or 18. I mean, you're being beat to a pulp because you think this world has some hope in it. Nothing. This world has nothing. I just want to inform you right now. This world has absolutely, positively nothing for you. That's why it's going away. That's why it's burning. That's why the whole thing is going to burn. It's absolutely nothing in it. Now we can try it out and test it out and check it out and poke it and give it a try, you know. I tell you what, it'll probably just kill you first. It'll give you a lot of hurt. It's painful. This world is full of destruction. I tell you what, God loves you. God loves you. And right now He's going to begin. I tell you what, say, God, thank You that You love me enough to stop me. I'm not talking about just now the 18-year-old. I'm talking about the 50-year-old, the 80-year-old. God, stop me. Stop me. Train me. Raise me. Glorify Yourself in me. Let's look over at Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not My law, but let your heart keep My commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lead not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, for the fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel, and marrow to your bones. See, He's instructing us to get this wisdom. To get His knowledge, to get His understanding. Turn over to Psalm 119 for a minute. Psalm 119, just a couple of verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Hope you brought your lunch. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. And I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about sickness and disease. I'm talking about life. Trouble. And Jesus said, remember, in the world you have, but be of good. He didn't say be grumpy. He didn't say cop an attitude. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I just went my own way. But now I've kept your word. Keep reading. You are good. And do good. Teach me your statutes. How many know sometimes teaching of things doesn't just come by saying it. It comes by example, doesn't it? Teaching you things comes by experience, doesn't it? The proud have forged a lie against me. But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. Well, here's a visual. Their heart is as fat as grease. But I delight in your law. So what does that mean? You just can't get through to them. The wicked. You just can't get through to them. It's just like, ugh. You just can't get through to them. Can't make it through. But I delight in your law. See, you've been transformed. It is good for me. Verse 71, look. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Maybe this guy had experienced thousands of gold and silver. And the words of your mouth, he says, are better to me than thousands of gold and silver. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Isn't that weird? That just, man, it's powerful. For somebody to declare that before I was afflicted, I went astray. It's good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You remember over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we talk about it often, is he says that the tribulation, we're troubled on every side. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. That's the Son. Who's walking in maturity. We're troubled on every side, but we're not in distress. We're perplexed. Anybody perplexed? You know what that, you know, perplexed is? Like, what is going on? You just don't have a clue. You're just on the backside. And you just don't understand what's going on, have no clue as to why in the world anything is happening the way it's happening. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Anybody like that? Anybody been in such a deal of perplexity, you just don't know what's going on, that you've gone and you just despair? I mean, it's like there's no hope. There's just no hope. Everything is gone. Everything is lost. See, this transformation that takes place through chastisement is that God is raising you up as a son of His own, as a daughter of His own, as a child of His own. So we're troubled on every side, and I'm not stressed. I just take out the disc and cause it like, talk about 21st century version. And Talk about, everybody talks about how they're stressed. Why am I so stressed out? Give me some drugs, I'm really stressed. And the kind of thing they advertise on TV, you know, they advertise Plavix or something. I'm probably saying that they, I'm probably saying the thing is for constipation or something. I don't even know what it is. You know, but it's some kind of drug you take, and it's because you're all perplexed. You know, you take a pill for anything. Amen? And you know what that does? It makes the pharmaceutical companies rich. That's what it does. I always like how they're coming on TV now. Tell your doctor you need our thing. Tell your doctor you need some of this. Your doctor looked at you and said, no, that ain't what you need. You need something, but you don't need that. See? Because you're being raised up. You're being transformed into His image by being chastened by the Lord. Do you welcome that chastening of the Lord? What I'm telling you is the trouble and seemingly the trouble and the suffering that you seem to be going through, maybe with a particular circumstance or a particular trouble in your daily walk, in your life, whether it's work or spouse or job or children or school, whatever it may be. I want you to begin to rejoice and thank God for His chastening, because He is what? He is growing you up. He is transforming you into His image. He's causing you to be changed. Can you say amen? Can you say thank you, Lord, for changing me into Your image? I receive it with thanksgiving. Amen. Take a couple more scriptures here. See, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I could not speak to you, brethren, as to spiritual, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ, fleshly, this worldly minded. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for before you were not able to bear it, and yet now are you neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now the indication there is mere men, is unchanged, unregenerate men. Those who have not been changed. Those who have not been discipled. See, the chastening of the Lord is also discipleship. Amen? The chastening of the Lord is your discipleship. Discipled unto Him. Made like Him. When a disciple is fully taught, he'll be like his master. Amen? This is you. See, the reason we come together to shake hands, love God, sing, and that's good, and hear a good message about something. But we want to be transformed. We want to be transformed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And as we come together, we are a body one of another. We so that we know each other, so that we touch one another, to have fellowship one with another, to say, God is changing me. And you say, yeah, God is changing me. And we encourage one another and build up one another to rejoice. Well, man, it just seems like, well, listen, I know it seems like it's a hard time, but just rejoice in the fact. See, we're teaching you so that you can teach each other. Okay? Because maybe you can't get us in the middle of the week or something. But you can get somebody. You can get somebody. Somebody to build you up. Somebody to encourage you. Somebody to say, well, brother, it's not because, brother, it's because of your sin. Now, it could be that. Sometimes it could be that. How many know sometimes your sin gets you in big trouble? You betcha. But I'll tell you what. God is doing a different thing as well. Sin does get you into trouble. I mean, just naturally. You steal it, you might get caught. You know, you hit somebody in the nose, and you might get hit back. You cheat, you may get sent to the office. However, God may just come up with some things on His own. That's what I'm talking about. God may just come up with some things on His own that He wants to maneuver, that He wants to transform, that He wants to change. Or He may know what's coming and He may not stop it, because He's going to use it to transform you and change you. Amen? Hello. Because He loves you and He knows absolutely what you need. He didn't send it, but what the devil intended for evil, God is going to change it for good. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through it. See, the enemy can send all kinds of things your way, but God can instantly change it for your blessing and change it for your good and cause you to be a blessing in 10 ways. Where the enemy was going to crush you in one, God can turn that thing and bless a multitude of people and grow you up in the middle. Grow you up besides. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 32. Oops, there we go. But we are judged when we are chastened. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned of the world. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So His desire is to chasten you, to keep you from falling in with the rest of the world, to get you out of this world. Chastening is to to bring you out of this world and into the kingdom of heaven, so that you're living in the kingdom of heaven now. How many know we're living in the kingdom of heaven right now? Don't look at the wallpaper or the spot on the floor. Well, this isn't streets of gold. You're living in heaven now. If you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're living in heaven now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. He's quickening you. He's making you alive. Amen? He is. You're His beloved. You are His beloved. You are His beloved. You should look over at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel, verse 14, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea, write these things. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation, of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What do you say in verse 19? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. God's desire is for us to receive His chastening with joy and thanksgiving. For you to raise up, to rise up every morning in His presence with thankfulness and with joy. Listen to me. Make yourself a note. You got a sticky? You got a sticky note? Now, you have to move it every day because, you know, if you leave it in the same place more than a couple of days, you just forget it. You just forget it's there. It'd be like writing something on your mirror and you'd be kind of looking through it to see what you look like. You know, what's this all over my mirror? Write yourself a note. Write yourself little love notes from God. Amen. It's just bring these things to pass. Bring them in front. Set them in front of you. Set them always in front of your eyes. He loves you. He absolutely loves you. And His chastening is for your maturity, your growth, so that you're transformed into from this world into the kingdom of heaven. Right now, today, day by day by day by day by day. Amen? This is it. This is what His desire is. See, we're not just waiting for heaven. When's the bus going to come? Remember, Peter says, God is not slack. Jim's got bigger ears than I do. This thing keeps slipping. He's not slack or slow, as men count slowness to be. You don't get to count. You don't get to check your watch to see where's the bus. Is it late? You know? Amen. God's good, isn't He? Amen. Are you blessed? Are you ready for chastening? Woo, boy. Man, that was almost as good as the rest of them. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. I want the deacons to come up, and they're going to be praying for you. All right. If you have a need this morning, that is, if you need healing in your body, if you need prayer for any circumstance that's going on, any in the middle of chastisement or chastening, I want these guys to come down, and they're going to pray with you, and you're going to be blessed and set free. They know how to pray and cast out the devil, and lay hands on you, so that the sickness is depart in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to find my benediction. Oh, here. It's where I put the sticky note. Amen. Let's all stand together. Let's sing together, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I exalt thee. Let's exalt him. Thee. I exalt thee. O Lord. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See you tonight.